Program. I have Leonard Fulner, President of the Program. Before we begin, I'd like to make a record as to some of the history of this case. I think it's important to have context as to what's going to happen today. Today, the courts had a review based on events that happened on Tuesday, August 15th on the parentage calendar. This is a parentage case. I put it on for Friday afternoon just because of the complexities of the issue, but it's actually a parentage case, not a departmental case. I was assigned to this case in the ordinary course. I'm the court commissioner, and I did not choose to take this case. I normally hear these calendars. I have not had any dealings with either of the parties prior to their appearing before me August 15th, 2023. On August 4th, 2023, the father appeared before Judge Hauser and sought emergency orders. Those orders were granted, and the hearing was set for August 15th, 2023. And again, as I go over my memory here, I'm just relying on the clerk's minutes and my memory, so it may not be 100% accurate, but I'm striving to be that way. On August 15th, 2023, the court asked Ms. Woods if she was ready to proceed, as she had not filed any documents and had only been served the day before. She stated she was ready to proceed. So the court held a hearing and declined to grant the father's request. However, this court indicated it would be a challenge for Ms. Woods to get her daughter to come back with her and encouraged or suggested, is probably the better word, that she file an at-risk youth petition down in Thurston County where she resided if she felt she could not compel her daughter to come with her. During the course of the hearing, the daughter, Adeline, was present and wanted to address the court. Adeline is 16 years of age. This court, by normal practice, does not allow children to address the court, except under very unusual circumstances with permission in advance, and so declined to do so. I can't remember if Adeline addressed the court during the first part of the hearing or the second part. Regardless, she did at one point attempt to interrupt and address the court. The parties left the courtroom. The case was over. Several minutes later, somebody came in the courtroom. I cannot recall if it was law enforcement, security, an attorney, staff, whoever. Somebody came in. I was in the middle of other cases on the calendar and indicated there was a problem on this case and that the police were now involved and law enforcement was present. I could see out the window of the courtroom that there was police officers in the hallway. So I asked all the parties to come back in. It turned out that two local attorneys who were here for unrelated matters on the calendar, Laura Yellish and Amanda Williamson, were present out in the hallway and indicated they saw what happened. Since I had no idea what happened, I asked them to explain what occurred. In summary, they indicated that the mother and daughter had an altercation. And when I say altercation, I do not mean physical. I did not see it. I just mean a verbal dispute and maybe more. I don't know. So I'm using altercation in a very general, broad sense of the word. And apparently, the daughter ran outside, had the keys to the father's car, got in the father's car, started it, and put the car up on the sidewalk. This was something far outside the ordinary course of what this court sees. And frankly, I have never seen before or heard of it happening in this courthouse, or any other courthouse for that matter. The child is 16, and this raised very serious, immediate concerns in my mind. As the child was willing to act in such a way to be dangerous in a car rather than avoid going with her mother. This court had no choice but to order that she stay with the father for 2 weeks, to have everybody come back today to hear further about what the court was going to do. On August 21st, according to the court docket, Ms. Woods came before Judge Adams on the ex parte calendar without any notice to Mr. Fulner. Court denied the request that she made that day. She then, according to the court docket, came before Judge Hull, again seeking ex parte relief. Again, I'm simply going off the records. I do not know if that's accurate or not, but just what the records show. And Judge Hull denied her relief. She then came back without any notice to Mr. Fulner on August 29th in front of Judge Bassett. Again, for ex parte, without notice to Mr. Fulner, and Judge Bassett apparently denied the relief. In this specific case, Ms. Woods alleges that the court should recuse itself based on her belief that this court's impartiality may be reasonably questioned and that she believes I have failed to avoid the appearance of impropriety. I take my obligations under the CJCs very seriously, and I've taken Ms. Woods' concerns very seriously. I personally took time to research the concerns raised by Ms. Woods and consulted with other members of my bench. Under the ethics rules, I may only recuse myself when required to do so. These rules are created to ensure that judges do not simply hand off difficult cases and to prevent the use of ethic rules to permit, to allow parties to essentially what we call judge shop. It's unclear what specific judicial ethic rules Ms. Woods believes this court has violated. She uses terms such as kangaroo court and says that this court has violated every single judicial rule, and it's very hard to tell which one specifically she means. However, it appears that Ms. Woods' arguments boil down to she does not like the process this court conducted and disagrees with this court's actions and this court's rulings. As stated, this was a very unusual situation. There was a 16-year-old willing to engage in very dangerous conduct, driving a car in a dangerous way if she was forced to go with her mother. This court had to make an instantaneous decision as to how to proceed in the best interest of the child. As I stated earlier, this is a situation I have never seen in my career and frankly is unheard of. We have received no training on situations like these. Here the court simply had to react to the situation that transpired in the courthouse. Ms. Williamson and Ms. Shellish were simply asked by the court to say what they saw. They had no agenda. They had no motive to be biased. They simply were there when this transpired and the court wanted to hear from a neutral party, them, versus from the two parties what happened. The mother apparently argues, seems to be that she's stating that there was collusion between them and the court. This claim is completely without merit. To accept Ms. Wood's arguments would mean a party could act in an inappropriate manner to force a judge to have to disqualify himself or herself. Not liking how I ruled is not a basis to give rise to such a claim of impropriety or impartiality. Therefore, Ms. Wood's motion is denied. We now have the situation of what to do with Adam. And Ms. Woods, I have to be blunt, you filed numerous documents here, but I don't see a proposal on what to do. So I'm going to give you 10 minutes for you to tell me what you think this court should do, that and how this court can compel a 16-year-old to go with you, especially one that did what she did.
Your Honor, her father encouraged her to do that, and that was instructed by her father to do that. And so that's what I witnessed, and so I was wanting her to protect her from doing that. And I don't think that Ms. Yellish and Ms. Williamson witnessed that.
And they may not. It may have happened. I don't draw any conclusions. I don't have the fact that they didn't see it doesn't mean it didn't happen. I simply have no independent evidence to tell me it happened one way or the other.
Exactly. Thank you. So I called the ARY in Thurston County, but they won't talk to me because she wasn't in my custody. So other plans that I had was to get arbitration. We have excellent arbitration in Olympia. And have an order for that Adeline and I.
Are you aware that Adeline yesterday filed an action for emancipation?
I did just hear that, yeah. So that kind of renders this moot, almost.
No finding's been made on that.
That's correct.
The way that it works for an emancipation is the child comes in, asks to be emancipated. The court appoints a guardian ad litem from the juvenile department, and then that person does a report. My understanding is it's set for October 6th for them to have a report. I expect they will be contacting you for your opinions on it. In fact, they have to between now and then. And so that's all we are at. And I didn't know about that until preparing for this case. I did not.
Okay.
I was not the judge that signed those documents.
Okay. So, she and I had discussed that previously to taking her to the hospital, and that was something I was supportive of. And I took her down there to do it. We were high-fiving at her accomplishment in beginning that process. So that's just, you know, I have always encouraged her to be independent and obviously a very capable person. But yes, that incident with the running out of the building, that was because someone told her to do that and indicated to her to do that. So I didn't want her to do that because she's not licensed, etc. And that's just dangerous to do with some kind of getaway thing. And so the police were not called on me either. They were called because she was on the hospital.
I'm not saying they were called on either party. I just know that they were called. I draw no conclusions.
Okay. So that's why, I mean, I did this so the police would come because she was running down and she's going to jump in the car I knew that from the beginning, that's what was going on.
But you have to understand, when you've accused me, you've specifically stated over and over, I run a kangaroo court.
Okay.
And so you can understand that my concerns about your veracity and credibility are now sort of questionable.
Okay.
I mean, you've made some pretty bad allegations against me, for I was just hearing the case.
Sure.
And I sided with you initially until that happened.
Yeah.
And so you can understand how, trying to go forward, I'm having a hard time deciding what to do. I don't know what to do.
Right.
Whatever I do, if you disagree, you say I'm running the kangaroo court, no matter what.
Well, from my perspective, and from listening to the audio of that day, I heard Yellish and Williamson discussing what they did, and that was one of them told the other one to come up here and contact your staff or yourself, and could recall the case so they could add information to the record on the child's behalf. And if they saw the child crying in the car, that was because she was told to go do something exciting and go do that.
But
and
all they were doing was reporting what they saw. They had no bias. They didn't know what had happened leading up to that.
Well, what they did is invited me, pardon my interruption, they invited me up and I had no idea what was going on. They invited me up, and I take offense to that, and I object to that. I mean, I wasn't able to defend myself. I didn't have any notice that they were going to be testifying against me when I didn't do anything wrong.
But you can understand from my point of view, mm-hmm. all I needed to do at that point was figure out, on a very unusual circumstance, how to cool things off.
Sure.
I simply wanted to cool it off and put it over 2 weeks. I wanted to hear an argument from both parents, and instead I got from you concerning mm-hmm. amount of vitriol towards the court and the process. I had nothing to do with what happened outside. I only know what I heard from the independent people. So where do we go to from here?
Well, I think Adeline, I support my daughter, and she wanted to file emancipation, and she and I celebrated that in the past. And, you know, to the point where we went and did something she really wants. She's very independent and she's very capable, though she's got a lot of hormones going on right now. And I don't think she's as responsible as she wants to believe, but I support her fully in taking that responsibility on.
This is my thought, my idea, my brainstorm about what to do next. Under the emancipation process, the way it works is the court makes no finding. As I indicated earlier, we simply appoint a guardian ad litem from the juvenile department to interview the parties, prepare a report. Then on October 6th, assuming they have the report ready, they present the report, everyone gets a copy of it, and then the court decides whether or not to grant emancipation. If they aren't ready, they ask for a continuance. One thing I'm thinking about doing in this case is we have a process where this court can appoint a custody investigator. A custody investigator is an independent person who works for the juvenile court and just by coincidence happens to be the same staff that does the emancipation work. So my thought is, why don't I appoint a custody investigator and have it be the same person doing the emancipation investigation? The investigator can talk to Adeline about, one, why she's refusing to see you, and two, what Adeline's wishes are for a plan going forward. And maybe having that independent person present some information back to all of us can give us some ideas on how to solve this problem. What do you think about that, ma'am?
My thought is, one thought that I have right now is vicinity, starts with a V, where it's located. I am low income and
what's located?
Well, she,
the juvenile center?
Yeah, I have custodial.
I would think that they could just FaceTime her or something.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. They can go out, they can drive to go to her.
Okay. I live in Thurston County.
I understand.
And I'm starting I'm a school bus driver.
So what do you think about me doing that?
Well, I can't make an educated guess.
It gives me an independent person. Rather than two attorneys who saw, and you have the ability to share your viewpoint as to what happened that day with that independent person writing the report.
What is, I don't even know the implications of the report, like what this what is, who is this? What, I would have to do research. Could I get back to you?
No, we need to figure out what to do next.
All right.
Here's what happens in a case like this. You two have a case that started, I think, in 2007. In 2008, a settlement conference was scheduled. That is a mediation where the parties sit down with the judge. It's off the record. It's completely private. And the judge tries to help the two of you get a settlement. That was actually scheduled back in... It was scheduled for March 31st, 2009. That was the last action in this case. And then on March 10th, 2009... You filed some declarations for the parent for the settlement conference, but it appears that no one appeared on March 31st, so the settlement conference was struck. Now, normally, what would happen is after 2 or 3 years, this case would be dismissed by the clerk's office for what they call want of prosecution. What that means is if no one does anything, but for some reason, it didn't get dismissed, and here we are, the last action being the settlement conference in 2009 not being held. So I think we should set a settlement conference so that you two can have the mediation with the judge. Again, it's private. It allows a little more candid of a conversation. For example, the judge can go and talk to you, sir, and ask you for some things, and you can say, well, don't share this with the mother, and the judge can come back to you, ma'am, and not share those things, and because it's not a trial, it's a mediation, and then ask you things and not necessarily share them with the father. An example being if there's a car accident, and you want $20,000, and I only want to pay you $10,000, but I tell the judge, I'm actually willing to pay up to $15,000. He's not going to go back and say, he's willing to pay $15,000. He's going to say, how about $12,000, and try to get you two to agree. That's what I mean by keeping secrets. It's nothing nefarious. So I think the best bet is to get a settlement conference.
Okay.
What do you think about that, sir?
I'm
going to tell you right now, it's required, and so there's really no choice.
Okay.
But I want to see if everyone agrees with that, because how else do we get you two to sit down and try to resolve this if there's not, that's the next step. And if you can't resolve it, then we have a trial. Now, in the meantime, my thought is, let's get a custody investigator to sit down with Adeline, get her opinions, get her feelings. You both will have a copy of that report. Nothing's binding from it. It just lets the judge know at the settlement conference, these are what my investigator's telling me. So, for example, you guys go to the settlement conference and the judge says, the reason Adeline doesn't want to go to mom is mom makes her do her homework. If I'm the judge, I'm going to say, sir, that is not an excuse. But at the same time, if the reason she doesn't want to go with mom is, you know, one of the cases I saw, mom's boyfriend is inappropriate with the daughter. I'm not saying it happened. I just said that was an example from a previous case. The judge is going to have a heart-to-heart with you and say, ma'am, you've got concerns here. We can't learn that unless we get that. So what I'm thinking of doing is I'm going to appoint a custody investigator, and it says here, Adeline, age 16, the CI, that's what we call the investigator, is appointed to meet with Adeline and determine why she does not wish to visit with her mother and to obtain Adeline's wishes for a final parenting plan. This may be the key to helping get her to visit with you. If it's something simple, a judge sitting down with everybody might be able to solve that. What do you think, ma'am?
I don't mind that. And
what do you think, sir?
I want to respect her.
I don't mind as long as her wishes are respected, that she doesn't go back with her mom until this is over.
I'm not saying anyone's going to agree with Adeline's wishes. I'm going to say tells the judge what the wishes are.
No. She would want this.
What is Adeline's contact information? So if this investigator wants to call her, what's her cell phone number to set up?
360-206-3209.
And that's your understanding of her number, too?
No, I think is that your number, Leonard?
Is that your number, sir, or her cell?
No. My number is...
Hold on, I'm going to get that in just a second.
Okay.
Thank you. I wasn't aware of her new number.
Okay, ma'am, what's the best way for the custody investigator to call you?
What's
your phone number?
360-999-8493.
And do you have an email address? That's good, too.
Yes, indeed.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's HTHRWOOD012@gmail.com.
And, sir, what's a good phone number for you?
360-228-6079.
And what's a good email address for you?
I don't have.
Okay.
Adeline has one, but I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, ma'am, do you know her email? I'm simply going to say, you might want to, if the custody investigator is having a hard time reaching Adeline, any information you can provide that person will.
You could call her right now and get it from her.
I'm not sure if she's still using this email, but it's adelinewolfpaw@gmail.com.
That's it.
Okay, how do you, what's that?
adelinewolfpaw@gmail.com.
W-O-L-F-P-A-W?
Yep.
No E.
I don't think so.
Again, if there's problems with the custody, if you talk to the custody investigator in 2 weeks and they say, I've been unable to reach her, tell them how to reach her. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this on for a review hearing where we get the custody investigator report, and that's going to be October 6th at 1:30 here in this courtroom. Guess what? Mm. That happens to be the same day that the emancipation hearing is set for.
Okay.
On purpose.
Ah.
Perfect.
Now, I'm also setting a settlement conference for the two of you, and the reason I'm setting it now is it takes weeks to get these set. My first available conference is Wednesday, October 11th at 1:30.
On my birthday.
Don't forget it.
Now, if the emancipation and the other, if the emancipation on the same day as the, what is it that called?
The review hearing.
The review hearing, thank you. If they're on the same day, then why do we need a settlement hearing? Even though it's required, I guess that's why.
Well, if you two cannot reach an agreement on where to go forward, we have to have that settlement conference. And I'm pretty sure you two will not have an agreement on October 6th. Oh. So I probably will be setting, now don't get me wrong, if you guys have an agreement, mm-hmm. I will be the happiest person in Kitsap County. So if you don't, though, we will set it for that. So the settlement conference is already set.
Okay.
And we, I'll probably be putting the emancipation decision over till after that.
I
think
see.
That's probably a good thing to have in front of the judge. Okay. So I'm appointing the custody investigator to interview Adeline and also talk to both of you. This person will have both your phone numbers. And I'm going to give you a copy of this order.
Thank you.
And so I'm going to give you a copy. They only sign it when they're asking for records. I'm not doing any records. Because the investigator's not going to go and get school records or anything like that yet. If you guys can't reach a resolution, then that may be the next step. And that's something the judge will talk to you
thank
both
you.
About at the settlement conference. I'm also setting the settlement conference for Wednesday, October 11th at 1:30. Okay. Here's your notification of that. On Friday, October 6th, when you're in front of me, we'll have a talk about what to do for the settlement conference, what materials you want to bring with you, etc. I don't know yet because I don't know what that report's going to say. But when we're here on October 6th, I'll say, you know, from the report, it looks like you'll probably want to bring these things, ma'am, and you'll probably want to bring these things, sir. In the meantime, though, I cannot order or make Adeline go back with you, ma'am.
Sir.
I don't know how to do it.
I get it.
So we're just going to keep the status quo. But, sir, if Adeline wants to talk to her mom, if Adeline wants to go move back with her mom,
sure.
You are required to let that happen.
Sure.
All right? Any questions, ma'am?
No, sir. Thank you.
Any questions, sir?
No.
All right. Folks, you can head
all
on.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.